I wish the airlines would move more towards these policies of making the customers more comfortable. Under the Texas-based airlines policy, customers whose bodies encroach past the armrests are entitled to an extra seat at no additional cost. You expect me to flip and make fun of fat folks, but the truth is, I want more of this. I wish they would make people put their fucking shoes on. I wish they would stop people from leaning their fucking seats back, especially during meal service. I wish they would ban people from wearing fucking cologne and buckets of perfume before they get trapped in a box in the sky with complete strangers and have to smell that shit for 4 or 5 hours. I wish periodically everyone on the plane could vote to land and put somebody off. Let's just land at the nearest airport. I motion to get this bitch off the plane. All in favor. Welcome back, BS with Brian Simpson, episode 90-some. Again, been a tremendous response to the special and the email and all of that shit. And I'm going to start off with emails just because I think we kind of ran out of time last time. So I'm going to do it. Glad to see you back. I'm an avid listener. You actually read two of my emails on the first episode back after the hiatus. Okay. All right. Love the special. Watched it 4 or 5 times already, but I'm a fucking dork like that. I often listen to specials as my going to sleep audio. I was wondering the whole part where Rob was sorry to hear that y'all ain't working on this together anymore. Rob's perspective and legal expertise added quite a bit to the conversation, but it's also an opportunity for someone else to step in with another perspective. I'd love to volunteer. The man angling. He's like, totally miss Rob, but fuck him. I'm a angle into his. I'd love to volunteer to help with whatever. Yeah, we could get around to that. That could be some. Steve Paul. Hey, Brian, glad to have the show back. My name is Steve. I wrote in once before regarding Burning Man, and you read my email, which was great. Thank you for that. I'm writing in asking for a bit of advice or some different insight. I live in Reno, Nevada. I am currently an electrician and have been doing it for over 4 years now. Okay. I'm 30 years old, married with a stepdaughter. Since about 2014 or so, I pursued acting and modeling. I am in no way a model. My body type is I work out, but I love donuts. Okay. But I am comfortable in front of the camera and help start more of the male model surge in Reno. See, you sending me mixed messages. You're not much of a model, but you started the modeling surge in the whole country. I mean, I'm sorry, in the whole city of Reno, Nevada. Okay. All right. I recently did my first SAG film. That was filmed in Reno as a small supporting role, which was great, and what I want to do for a living. All right. My question is, finally he gets to the question, folks. My question is, what would your advice be to help pursue an acting career even more? I've done short films here, have a podcast, done commercials, and try and do photo shoots whenever I can. With the full-time job, things being so expensive and having a family, I can't do the up and move to L.A. A side note, there's only one talent agency in town who has been known to play favorites. Not to take away from any of the actors, but a fellow actor has caught her red-handed playing favorites towards the other actors, along with rumors of her skimming off the top. I have thought about opening up my own agency. It would take quite a commitment, but could be doable as I know a lot of the other actors and producers in town. Sorry for the long email. Thank you for any help, Steve Long. Okay, listen. Steve, this sounds like you just ran into the buzzsaw of politics that's in all industries, especially show business. you know, the I can't up and move to L.A., yeah, that's a big barrier for a lot of people, but that's also what's necessary. I mean, don't get me wrong. One in a million people, yeah, they'll get discovered walking through the mall or whatever in the middle of, you know, North Dakota, but that's not going to happen. You know, just statistically, that's very, very unlikely. Yeah, you kind of got to go get in the game, you know, because with them casting people, you know, like I said, it's relationships and it's kind of a numbers game to them too, you know? So, you know, you're nothing to them. They don't care how great of an actor you are. They don't give a fuck about any of that. You're just a body that fits a description, and they see you like that. Like, you're not special to them, you know. So to say, like, I want to be an actor, but I don't want to move to Los Angeles. I mean, well, you've answered your own question. That is your best chance of being an actor. I mean, actually, that's not true. It's not just LA. I mean, you can go to Atlanta, you know, you can go to somewhere in America. Let's start there. You got to be somewhere in the United States, you know, or you got to be exceptional and have been training at Juilliard and all that shit. But yeah, that's the shitty part about all this. You kind of gotta go through all of this kind of bullshit of like, well, I've been doing it for a minute. Now what? You can't be an actor harder, is what you ask me. How can I be an actor even harder? I don't think you can, man. I think you're just in the wrong place. You know, there's nobody that's gonna see you in Toronto that's gonna change your life. Or very few people. All right, next one. Hi, Brian. Huge congrats on the special. I got to see you do an hour out here in L.A. before taping in Austin. I'm so happy to have BS back this week and was excited to hear that you're looking for someone to produce, edit. So throw my hat in the ring. I'm based in L.A. and would love to talk about it. Wow. People trying to snake Rob's job immediately. I don't even think I even said anything like that. Maybe I did. All right, from Sam. Nomination for best prank ever. That time Brian Simpson talked about reparations for Haiti and burying the Sackler family, then Irish goodbye this podcast for 2 months. Man, that was a good one. Oh, yeah, I guess that kid kind of seemed like maybe they came to silence me. Check out the article about John Swampy Barnett, the Boeing whistleblower. I will. What are your thoughts? What is it about banking and finance that turns profitable companies into loan sharks? Maybe we should stop drinking the Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, neoliberal Kool-Aid. Happy you finally got a full-hour special. Keep them coming, bro. Glad to see you making it. Just watch out for that $10 million. It'll sneak up on you. What you mean it'll sneak up on you? Okay. All right. Thou shall not five. Okay. I'm not sure what that means. All right, happy. What is it about banking and finance that turns profitable companies into loan sharks? I just think that money fucks up everybody. Money fucks up everyone. Money and power, people can't resist. Even if, and the thing is, it don't even got to be that much money. That's what's so funny about it, about all of it. It doesn't even have to be a lot of money. All right. Hi, Brian. Hope this finds you well. Haven't heard back from you, so I'm assuming for now. What is this? Some kind of booking thing. All right. So that's not a question. All right. We got through all of that. We did it. Let me see. What elephants in the room do we have today from your fucking local news? I've been going out of my way to avoid all of the election shit and all of that. That shit's just trash to me, bro. All I've been doing is meetings and Dragon's Dogma 2. That's it. Even that game kind of pissed me off a little bit. It's a great game. It's such a good game that I'm kind of willing to overlook certain things. Because they did that Dark Souls-y type of deal where, like, certain things are just made frustrating for no reason, just so they can say, we're not holding the player's hand. It's like, yeah, but there's certain stuff that should be there. You know what I mean? Like, certain things just aren't explained. Like, what is gusto? What is the gusto stat? That's not really a stat. But you know what I'm saying? It won't it'll give you an item with something on it, but it won't tell you what that is. So you, what are you supposed to, you know, this is a game about, you know, raising your stats, but they don't tell you what all the stats do. So it's like little stuff like that. Where it's like, why is that just missing? But the gameplay is pretty fun, honestly. Yeah, the whole thing's pretty fun. Seriously. yeah, they really took their time. They really kind of did their own thing that was kind of different from what all the other RPGs are kind of doing right now. The whole pawn system is pretty cool. Like I said, the only problem with the game is that there are parts of the game that aren't explained to you ever. So, and some people like that. Some people are like, it's just the difficulty. No. That's not the same thing as difficulty to me. I've screamed this to the fucking cows come home, but there's a difference between inserting frustration into a game because you don't have good ideas on how to make it more difficult. I think that's what a lot of game developers are doing. Now, I don't think that's necessarily what these game developers are doing, but I think a lot of them fall prey to that. Just like, you know, I played a lot of Helldivers when it first came out, and it was a lot of fun and this and that. But I think the developers are starting to fall down that hole of, you know, when they start telling you how they want the player base to play, you know what I'm talking about? Like, instead of when they move away from like, oh wow, we didn't anticipate that people would be having fun in this way, they go, oh, but we don't want that. This is how we envision the game to be played, so let's change things so that people play the way we guessed they would. And it's like, yeah, well, now that's when you start losing people. Helldivers hasn't lost me, but it's definitely, there's something that's not as fun about it as it was when it first came out. You know? That's all it is. It lost a little something. I don't know what it was. It's still got a huge player base, concurrent player base on Steam, and I'm sure on PlayStation. But not nearly to the point where it was like broken when it first came out, you know. And that's pretty much it. Little Helldivers, Little Dragon's Dogma. Still keep coming back to Overwatch like a fucking cuck that I am. And that's about it. I've been ignoring the politics because I think this is it, folks. I think this is the last election, no matter which way it go. You know, it was nice knowing y'all, sayonara, but our country's not run by serious people. You know, that's really what it is. I'm going through some of these articles. Look at this. Let's see here. Southwest Airlines is praised for customers of size policy that allows overweight flyers to purchase one seat and get another complimentary. You get a free seat if you're big enough. If you're fat, you know the anxiety of flying, and this alleviates it a lot. She's a size 20. Okay. I had a very comfortable flight, just feeling like I was allowed to take up the space I needed. Under the Texas-based airlines policy, customers whose bodies encroach past the armrests are entitled to an extra seat at no additional cost. I don't have a problem with this. I mean, I don't know how you're going to implement it if you don't already sold out a flight and you don't know who's big till they get there. If it's determined that a second or third seat is needed, you'd be accommodated with a complimentary additional two seats. Well, wait a minute now. Now that when we moving into third seat territory, but at the same time, that's the thing. Do you want to be stuck beside the person that needed a third seat? Because that's the thing. It's like, I'm not trying to, this is not even about fairness or any of that. It's like, do you want to be sitting beside the motherfucker that needs an extra seat? Just give it to them so I don't have to. Because that's the thing. I wish the airlines would move more towards these policies of making the customers more comfortable. That's really what it is. You expect me to flip and make fun of fat folks, but the truth is, I want more of this. I wish they would make people put their fucking shoes on. I wish they would stop people from leaning their fucking seats back, especially during meal service. You know, I wish they would ban people from wearing fucking cologne and buckets of perfume before they get trapped in a box in the sky with complete strangers and have to smell that shit for 4 or 5 hours. I wish periodically everyone on the plane could vote to land and put somebody off. Let's just land at the nearest airport. I motion to get this bitch off the plane. All in favor? That's what I would do. So this is the beginning of Southwest Airlines taking a holistic approach to airline shit. I forgot this all this stuff is old. I'm sorry. All these articles I forget are old. And you go to any. Oh, look, what'd you look at there? Taylor Swift among 141 new billionaires, an amazing year for rich people. Combined assets of $14.2 trillion are more than GDP of every country except China and the United States. There are more billionaires than ever before. The world has 2,781 people with fortunes exceeding $1 billion. An increase of 141. The billionaires are also collectively worth more than ever, with combined assets estimating at $14.2 trillion, a $2 trillion increase over 2023. Their collective wealth has risen by 120% in the past decade. At the same time, as billions of people across the world have seen their living standards decrease in the face of inflation and cost of living crisis. It's been an amazing year for the world's richest people, with more billionaires around the world than ever before, said Chase Peterson Withorn, Forbes wealth editor. A record-breaking 14 centibillionaires, that's $100 billion, have 12-figure fortunes. Even during times of financial uncertainty for many, the super rich continue to thrive. Well, that's a shocker. Equality campaigners said the staggering wealth being accumulated by the super rich should lead to urgent efforts to spread this wealth more evenly, proportionally, and efficiently. Well, that's not going to happen, commie. Well, guys, we know how empires fall. You thought I was being pessimistic like 5 minutes ago. But this is how empires fall. When all the wealth has slowly been concentrated in the hands of fewer and fewer and fewer people, it starts to mean less. You know? And eventually it's going to get to the point where it don't mean shit. Where it's like, I'm hungry, that sandwich costs $5. You have all the dollars. So I'm just gonna take that sandwich. Now that's how much a sandwich costs. It costs however much it takes for me to take it. And the money doesn't mean anything. You see, every post-apocalyptic scenario, what does cash mean at that point? It doesn't mean anything. You know, it's bottle caps. It's it's nuts and bolts. It's whatever the fuck we decide everyone's paying in. But it's not going to be cash dollars. You know? Okay, one more time. One more. Utah man tries to kill terminally ill wife in hospital. No, I read this one already. Didn't we do that on the Ghost episode? Oh, everyone's in town for the eclipse tonight. Right. But that's not why people drive like shit out here. This happened way before the sun. Rudy Giuliani hit with a $148 million verdict for defaming. Oh, this is December. Okay, that just shows how fucking lazy we've been. All right. I'm looking for one more to read. Scientists discover speed of visual perception ranges wildly in humans. Using a blink-and-you'll-miss-it experiment, researchers from Trinity College Dublin have discovered that individuals differ wildly in the rate at which they perceive visual signals. Some people perceive a rapidly changing visual cue at frequencies that others cannot, which means some access more visual information per time frame than others. This discovery suggests some people have an innate advantage in certain settings where response time is crucial, such as in ball sports or in competitive gaming. The rate with which we perceive the world is known as our temporal resolution, and in many ways it is similar to the refresh rate of a computer monitor. Blah blah blah. Man, you might as well cut that. It was just a bunch of boring bullshit. Okay, here we go. Seagulls, charismatic, not criminal, say scientists. Seagulls are being forced into our towns by law. Oh, God damn. I can't go out like this. All right, one more. Well, I can't believe there was more P. Diddy stuff way back here. A fourth woman has accused Sean Diddy Combs of sexual assault, alleging in a lawsuit that when she was a teen, she was gang raped and sex trafficked by the music mogul, along with Harvey Pierre, a former longtime president of his record label. Well. Well, listen, guys, ever since our last episode, Diddy's been seen out frolicking in public. So I don't know. I don't know. He also has not been charged with anything. Which, I don't know. So, what does that mean for the average one of us? It's hard to say. But he's clearly guilty to anyone that's been paying attention. I mean, maybe, you know, guilty is a strong word, but, like we said before, Puff Daddy's not an innocent guy, you know? And he put out a video yesterday calling for all the people that support him, you know, to speak up and say, hey, man, it ain't nothing they can do for you. That doesn't help at all. Don't do that, by the way, guys. If my friends out there, if I get in trouble publicly, Don't start making videos to my defense and all this. No, nigga, I don't need you to do none of that. Listen, we need you to testify for me. That's when I need you to pick up the phone. But all that empty, vapid social media gesturing, I don't need that from you. I don't need none of that. It doesn't help. In fact, I think it hurts, right? Because then it's the equivalent of like, you know, I'm not racist, I got a black friend kind of deal. It's like, it looks like you just went and grabbed your friends to just, it makes it look fake, basically. And it doesn't help. What helps is them testimonies, you know. So, not only is it a mistake, but it's something that a narcissist would, that's what narcissists do when they panic. They start trying to use their power, you know, because that's all they know how to do. They try to force people to do stuff. And it's like, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I hope. I want justice. I want justice for the victims. I mean, for most of the victims. Like the people that was underage sex trafficked, yes, for sure. But the people that was trying to, like, get up in their career, because that's the other thing, is, like, Puff Daddy didn't do all this shit by himself. This is the same thing I say every time somebody get in trouble like that. Every time Cosby, Weinstein, Epstein, all these people's like, they love to, like, oh, I'm going to take down one guy, problem solved. And it's like, wait a minute, that seemed like a whole organization. And only one person got, one person was the fall guy, and now everybody stopped talking about it. But it's like, it's a lot of people that was involved in this situation that's being real quiet, you know, just hoping their name don't pop up. Thank God I said no to these parties. I never got invited to a Puff Daddy party. But I just, I mean, the idea of going to a Hollywood party is torture to me. Well, just the idea of being in a party full of strangers. That's not my idea of a good time. And my whole life, I've been made to feel like that's not normal, like I'm the abnormal one. No, I think y'all are the crazy ones. Honestly, just to be surrounded by strangers that's all fucked up, that doesn't sound like fun to me. You know, and then on top of that, I was a door guy or bounce or bar back for shit, probably 7-8 years in the middle of the stand up stuff. So just always dealing with them, just always dealing with drunk people. I fucking hate it. You know, it's like it's one thing every once in a while. You know, if me and you, if we decide we getting drunk together and now we, and, you know, and we sipping and reminiscing, and that's fine every now and then, but I'm just talking about just being surrounded by, you done threw up over there, you stink, you don't realize it, you're just annoying, you can't keep your balance, you keep leaning on me, you're telling me the same story you told me 5 times before, except you keep coming out here drunker and drunker and telling it again. How you don't remember that you told me the story, but you remember to tell that motherfucking story? You know what I mean? Every single time, that bitch don't never forget the story, but she forgets she told me. Yeah, and I don't even remember what I was exactly ranting about. What's the moral of the story? Nobody wants to deal with your drunk ass. I guess if we got to take anything out of it all, nobody wants to have to deal with you when you can't handle your drugs. And I know that's not what I was originally speaking on, but I'm too stoned. I think that's what will be the name of this episode. Too stoned today, guys. Don't forget, I'm out here. I'm on tour. I'm back on tour. New things separate from the special. If you have seen the special, tell somebody else about it. If you want to come see me on the road, I'm going to be in Utah on April 12th and 13th. I'm going to be in Tacoma, Washington on April 26th and 27th. I'm going to be in Los Angeles on May 7th through the 10th. I'm going to be in Desert. What the fuck is Desert Ridge? I don't know where that is. But I'm going to be there. And then Vegas, June 14th and 15th. Denver, July 11th, 12th, and 13th. And Royal Oak, Michigan, July 25th, 26th, and 27th. Go to my social medias, BS Comedian, or go to BronsonsComedy.com, click on that link, and get your tickets now. Support the podcast, like, share, subscribe, argue, and we'll see y'all next time.